Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, and welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we are talking about chemtrails. And you might have heard of it. And if you haven't, it's basically something that people are talking about that they've seen in the sky, not UFOs, but specifically chemtrails. And we're going to go the full nine yards on what exactly it is, where did it start, and what do people believe in? Like, why are people talking about this topic? But before we do, Shannon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. I am at the beginning of a cold, so if my voice sounds scratchier than usual, that is why. But how are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, our listeners, we hope you feel better by the time they listen to this episode. But, you know, it's flu season, it's cold season, it's winter.
It's bound to happen.
Exactly. Yep. But we have a long weekend, so things are looking up for us. Alrighty. Without further ado, let's dive on in. So what are chemtrails? So essentially, it's a theory that the government or other parties are engaged in, and it's a secret program. And this secret program allegedly adds toxic chemicals to the atmosphere from an aircraft that is like visible in the sky. So let's just take a step back. I'm sure you've seen a plane in the sky and maybe even seen those fancy ones that do like, will you marry me? Or like some sort of crazy like shapes or words or whatever. So those are called contrails. And that's what happens when the engines leave water condensation. So it essentially trails behind the plane, and it's essentially mini clouds.
Yeah, I saw something that was like a good analogy, or not analogy, but similar to it, is like when it's cold outside and you breathe out, you exhale and you can see your breath. That's like what's going on, because the plane is so hot and the air up there is so cold, it's just making condensation.
That's a great analogy. Yeah. And so I'm sure we've all seen it at least once in our life, so we can get that visual up in the sky. But people are arguing that it's not just this water condensation mixture, that it's more potent, more toxic than we may think. And that's because some people argue that these contrails look, quote unquote, different. So people believe that there are normal contrails will just disappear relatively quickly, while the chemtrails will linger. And in their theory, it's allegedly because there's some additional substance added to it, and that's what causes it to last a lot longer. Now you're probably wondering, why would people want to have these chemical trails left behind, just, I don't even know, like letting it rain on like people as it flies over us, right? And apparently it's tied to sterilization is the motivation, reducing life expectancy, mind control, and even trying to control the weather. So people have tried to like tie chemtrails to all of these different topics for that motivation. And recently, the theories have been updated to include chemtrails spreading COVID-19 and spreading vaccinations, which is interesting because they're saying that there's a vaccine that you can breathe in instead of an injection.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. Now that's science. Technology. You know, and again, all these are alleged things that people believe in. And then also some believers put bowls of white vinegar outside of their house to protect them. You know, vinegar really is that thing that does everything in terms of cleanliness, even obviously the cooking world. So it's funny to me that people think that this will, you know, protect them. I'm getting very strong, like vampire and like a wooden stick or like garlic, you know, just like protecting the home.
I found some YouTube videos of people putting vinegar outside or spraying it into the air, and they claimed that the sky cleared after they left it out for a while. And it was due to the vinegar. And I gotta say, I was reading the comment sections under these videos, and woo, it is like not what you think it would be. It's very really? Pro vinegar, very like, you got it, bro. Don't let the man bring you down, you know, that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, there's a good following for this.
Wow. People are really loving it.
Yeah, you better get your hands on some white vinegar before it's all sold out.
Truly. I mean, before you know it, it'll probably show up on your TikTok feed for you page and people giving like tips and tricks on this.
Yeah.
So why are people talking about chemtrails, right, Shannon? Like, what are people insisting? Like, what quote unquote evidence do they have that this exists? How was the seed planted? So we talked about this earlier, and some people insist that these streams in the air just last for hours instead of just disappearing quickly like you would typically see within like a couple minutes. And some argue that it eventually blends to form these large clouds, and that there are some visible colors in the sky that are attached to these quote-unquote chemtrails. So it's all visual, and people are just being very skeptical about the image that these planes are producing. And so there are people, right, that argue this is the evidence of chemtrails. But we also have to look at the flip side, right? Let's look at the flip side of why people are against the chemtrails and what are their arguments. So we have argument number one being they just last longer, different colors, da 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 da. The other side is some, like, the scientists believe that they may look different based on different temperatures and humidity in the air that can play an impact on how long these contrails last. So that's why in some areas it disappears within minutes, whereas others it may last a little bit longer. And it's all just based on the weather outside affecting these like little mini clouds, you could say. I thought this was kind of interesting and definitely not, what should I say, a news source per se, but there was an interview apparently on Joe Rogan's podcast. And, you know, I think if you're a podcaster, you know Joe Rogan, but apparently he had a former CIA employee and he was a whistleblower. His name is Edward Snowden. And he talked about chemtrails, and he was like, hey, basically, like, do they exist? And like, did you find any evidence? And he said he did not find any evidence showing that chemtrails was a thing and that the government was like motivated to create some sort of, you know, again, like, I don't even know, like chemtrails essentially, which I just think is interesting, you know, interesting that we have quote unquote an insider who says that that is not true.
Yeah.
But who knows? Perhaps he just doesn't know. Maybe he wasn't sworn into that part of the secrecy. There was a situation back in May of 2014 where there was a viral video showing it from a commercial passenger plane, but people pointed out that that would defeat the secretive mission. So if we're going on the whole path of like, oh, this is like the government and they're doing some weird secretive stuff that we shouldn't know about, blah, blah, blah. But then they're just putting it out in plain sight. People argue like that just doesn't make sense when you look out your window and you think that you're producing these chemtrails. Like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
And then there's another situation back in 2005. Oof. That was a long time ago, in the United Kingdom, by a guy named Elliot Morley. And he is, or was, the Minister of State for the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs. And he was asked by David Drew, who was a member of the Labour Party in Parliament. And he was quoted saying, what research the department has undertaken into the polluting effects of chemtrails for aircraft. He responded that the department is not researching into chemtrails from the aircraft as they are not scientifically recognized phenomena, and that the work being conducted to understand how contrails, like what is, you know, the stable thing, are formed and what effects they have in the atmosphere. So again, another high-ranking individual mm-hmm. talking about chemtrails and completely dismissing it and saying that there's literally nothing to recognize, which is food for thought. So overall, there's a lot of evidence going against the chemtrails and not a lot of concrete evidence other than what people believe in. But it is fascinating that despite the lack of major evidence, it is a topic that I feel like a lot of people are familiar with and have an opinion, even if they haven't really researched into it.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely, I think there's a big following, but mm-hmm. as far as hard, concrete evidence, it's pretty lacking.
Exactly. But before we dive into some real chemtrails, shall we listen to a word from our sponsor?
Let's go.
And we are back.
Yeah, so we can't really blame the chemtrailers, and that's what I'm calling the people that believe in them. I don't actually know what the word is, but that we can't ignore the fact that something similar has happened in history. The government spreading stuff that the population didn't know about. And so it's not like from a place of, oh no, this would never happen. And mm-hmm. when I found out about these tests that were done previously in history, it was kind of alarming. And I can see why people would believe chemtrails, I guess.
Yeah, like why it would exist or why the concept is not crazy.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to go into a couple of historical points when governments have actually done something similar. So these tests were more of like microorganisms or minerals and things that were spread across populations without the public being told. And in the UK, tests were done basically to like the on the record explanation is that they wanted to keep the population safe from Russian chemical warfare. So these tests were trying to figure out like how easy it would be to poison the United Kingdom population. How quickly would things like get out of hand? So in most cases, the trials did not use biological weapons, but they used alternatives which scientists could like track, and it would mimic the germ warfare. And the Ministry of Defense claimed they were all harmless. But some families in certain areas of the country that were kind of more bombarded than others kind of have questions because there were children that have birth defects and they just don't think it's a coincidence. So in the mid-1950s, the government spread zinc cadmium sulfide on the population, and it's fluorescent, so they could see how far it traveled. Again, they claimed it was harmless, but cadmium is linked to lung cancer and was considered a chemical weapon in World War II, which is very interesting. I don't know if the compound zinc cadmium sulfide, you know, changes that, but it is concerning that cadmium is in there.
Yeah.
There was another bacteria that was spread that mimics anthrax, which it's not anthrax, but, you know, it's kind of alarming that they spread one that mimics it.
Yeah.
One that was super interesting and like kind of crazy was that in the mid-1960s and the mid-1970s, they did this test by attaching germs to the threads of spiders' webs, and then they released them to see how they get carried across the country. And, you know, they were in London's West End, they were in Southampton, they were in Swindon, which is like, whoa, you know, that's crazy.
Oh my God. I'm scared.
Terrifying. Like I was mentioning, some families are demanding a public inquiry. And it wasn't until recently that a lot of these tests were released that they actually happened. So a lot of people, again, it wasn't like they notified anybody. So this man, David Orman, he says that his wife, Janet, was born close to where these trials took place. And when she was an adult, she had a miscarriage. She then gave birth to a son with cerebral palsy. Her three sisters, also born in the village where these tests were being carried out, have also given birth to children with unexplained problems, as have a high number of their neighbors. And he said, quote, I am convinced something terrible has happened. The village was a close-knit community, and to have so many birth defects over such a short space of time has to be more than a coincidence.
Yeah, that's frightening.
Yeah, and like you could say, okay, they're all sisters, so it must be genetic or whatever. But when you get into neighbors and everything, that's a little bit suspicious. And if it's a small population, like what are the chances?
Right.
One of the infamous anthrax experiments was from the Scottish coast. A lot of these were actually boats that were in the water and they sprayed whatever material at the mainland. Mm-hmm. And this one was off the Scottish coast and it left the island of Gurnard so contaminated that it could not be inhabited until the 1980s.
Whoa.
Which that's shocking. And I feel like that could be like a whole nother episode because it's has Chernobyl vibes.
Yes.
But it was completely on purpose and they clearly weren't knowing, didn't know what they were doing, and they just did too much.
Oh my God, so scary.
Concerning nonetheless. Again, the government claimed the test would save more lives because they would be more knowledgeable if the country was attacked by chemical warfare. But people have asked the government, like, hey, are you still doing tests like this? And the representative that responded said, it is not our policy to discuss ongoing research.
Oh my God. Keyword, ongoing.
Yikes.
It is really scary. Kind of reminds me of, have you ever seen the movie Aaron Brockovich?
No.
You should watch that movie. It's so good. It's kind of on like a related note, based on a true story, where there was this woman and she essentially, long story short, helped crack a case where there was the water that had chemicals. And it was a similar situation where a very, very small town, everybody had gotten sick, had gotten like cancer or severe illnesses. And they were trying to figure out how that happened. And essentially they were just like fighting the big corporations that was causing all of the pollution to cause those problems. And it's just, it really is scary because you're, a lot of times in the movie / in real life, you're just a small person fighting these large corporations and they can do anything. They have all the money. And it's just like, it's really scary.
Yeah, no, it's terrifying. And there's really nothing you can do. Even if they paid you some sort of sum, it's still, they ruined your life, you know?
Yeah. And that's if you figure it out and can connect it to something. Yeah.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's really messed up, United Kingdom. Glad we don't do that here. Well, you're wrong, because we also do that in the US.
Yikes.
One big case, and the one that I could readily find, was that in 1950, the US Navy parked a ship outside of the Northern California coast, and it was spraying this bacteria. I'm not going to give you the Latin name of it, but basically it's a bacteria that lives in the soil and water, and it's known for its ability to produce bright red pigment. And it was chosen because of that, so that they could see where it spread. And they similarly, you know, they wanted to know biowarfare. This was kind of to test how far it could spread. They wanted to see specifically how a big city like San Francisco would be attacked by terrorists with bioweapons. After the bacteria spread, they took samples at 43 sites and found that it had quickly infested not only the city, but the surrounding suburbs. And during the tests, the residents of these areas would have inhaled millions of bacterial spores. So in regards to that, it was kind of a success. Like the test did show how quickly bacteria can spread.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they thought that this bacteria was completely harmless to humans. And the bug was mostly known for its red spots. It produced on infested foods and had not been widely linked to clinical conditions, which is crazy. They didn't test it out beforehand. But after 1 week after it got spread, 11 local residents checked into the local hospital complaining of urinary tract infections. And when they tested their pee, doctors noticed that it had like this red hue to it. Mm-hmm. And the bacteria was so rare that they didn't really know what they were looking at. And it became like the first recorded outbreak of this bacteria because they just had never seen it before.
Yeah.
And obviously the doctors aren't privy to the military's operation. So like the doctors are kind of like, what's going on?
Right.
And one man actually died from it because he was recovering from prostate surgery. The other urinary tract infections were on people that had recently had surgery too. So they were probably compromised in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one man did actually die. And some people out there think that it completely, like, they don't know how much it changed the ecology mm-hmm. of the area. You know, like you're spraying this bacteria by millions and millions of spores. And how is that going into the environment? How is that changing all of the microbial? Yeah, the military has performed similar tests on other cities, but then Richard Nixon halted all of the germ warfare research in 1969, and the San Francisco experiment didn't become public knowledge until 1976, so like 26 years later.
It's like so scary to know what is going on behind closed doors and we have no idea. And do you really think about the whole ecosystem of everything, like your food, because it grows mm-hmm. in the plants, and you don't know how far this has expanded? And then you wonder, someone gets sick, and it's like, could it be related to this thing even mm-hmm. so many decades ago? It's so scary. It's like, this whole world is so scary.
Yeah, I know. It is scary. And I would hope that now they would thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly test whatever pathogen they're sending into the air, because
yes,
just to quadruple check that it's harmless.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't. I mean, chemical warfare and biological warfare feels like a 1950s kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they could totally still be doing these tests, and obviously we would never know. I just hope that they have done more upfront research so we will never be affected by it.
Exactly. And another thing too is, there could be theoretically no evidence on whatever, you know, they put out into the air, because we don't know the long-term effects of it. Like, only right. time will tell. So it's just, man, it's like only the short-term stuff we could maybe figure out, but that doesn't necessarily mean like everything is going to produce a short-term effect.
Right. And everybody's so different that, like, sure, maybe it doesn't affect the majority of the population, but what if you have some sort of condition? Like, think about all the different conditions there are in the world, and like somebody has, multiple people have all of them, you know? So it's, mm-hmm. you can't test that. Like, it works okay on literally everyone.
Exactly.
Even That's food scary. Dye, like people are allergic to red food dye, you know? You can't even just put water with food dye down.
Yeah. It's so bad. So where is your tinfoil hat, Shannon? What are your thoughts?
I don't think that the trails coming off of planes are chemicals. So my tinfoil hat is off for that, but mm-hmm. I don't doubt that we're still being tested and things are being put into the air.
I 100% agree with you. Like, the whole notion of every single plane or just like coming from planes is a chemtrail. My tinfoil hat is like on the shelf, but that doesn't dismiss the idea / we have the evidence that people have done something similar to these actions.
And I hope that in the US, the Richard Nixon, pun not intended, Nixon, back in the 60s.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the exact wording of that was, and you know, what kind of tests are still going on.
Right. Man, well, we'll have to stay tuned. Hopefully we don't have an episode on it on Bare Roots, because I don't want to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't like that.
Well, that completes today's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it and found some of these facts interesting. I know I learned a few new things. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Bare Roots Pod, B-A-R-E, and follow us. Give us a 5-star review if you are loving what you are hearing. We're on every platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, we are there and you can find us there. Be sure to check out our full catalog. We have so much good stuff. And we hope you guys are enjoying your 2023, ringing in the new year. Thank you for joining us for another season. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.